Pippa Hudson. Lines are always open on 021-446-0567.
Now, the issue of water is never far from our minds at the moment. And despite being incredibly grateful for the bit of rain we've had in the last few days, the fact is we're still in crisis. We have dam levels well below 40% and experts frantically investigating alternatives for water supply, including things like desalination and the reuse of wastewater. But the main topic on the table this week has been groundwater, as experts gathered in Stellenbosch to debate what role groundwater could play in alleviating the drought. And joining me on the line is Dr. Roger Parsons, who chaired the organizing committee for the event. He's also a member of the Geological Society of South Africa, where he chairs that groundwater division. Thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Pippa. It's a pleasure to be with you.
First of all, do you think we're taking this drought seriously enough? Is the city doing enough to drive home just how bad the situation actually is?
It's a hard question to answer, because we hear a lot of drought, and people like yourself keep us informed. It's never far from our mind, but the problem that I'm experiencing is we're not seeing things happening on the ground. There's a lot of talk of attention being given to the drought, but we haven't seen the real action on the ground yet.
Okay, well, we're specifically concerned with what's under the ground at the moment and where we go with that. Obviously, the city's talked about, as part of that water management strategy that it's outlined, it's talked about groundwater as one of the potential additional water sources. It's one that I think a lot of people don't really understand and have concerns about, because they go, well, if we're running out of water, surely we need to be worried about the groundwater supply as well. So maybe we start there. When we talk about how much water is available as groundwater, is that supply in good health, or has it too been affected by the drought?
That's a really good question. The interesting thing is the groundwater is not yet showing signs of being impacted by the drought. The Department of Water and Sanitation has got boreholes spread across the Cape Flats that they monitor on a regular basis, and those boreholes are not yet showing any impact of the drought. And that's a characteristic of groundwater, that there's a delayed response. That this lag is caused largely by the rate that groundwater flows at, but it's not surprising to us that we've got this lag taking place. So the groundwater supplies are in good shape at the moment.
Okay, well, that's at least some good news to hold on to. The big question then becomes, how do we tap into that groundwater? How much of it could be accessed to bring into our daily water supply system?
That's always a challenging question, to know exactly how much the resource is. If I can rather tackle it from another way, the city's put on the table this plan to get 500 megalitres per day, of which they want 100 megalitres to come from groundwater. And there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing on whether we can achieve it or whether we can't achieve it. And in my address to the conference on Monday, I suggested that we can achieve it. We can develop the Cape Flats aquifer, which we know very, very well from research that was done there in the 70s and 80s. We can rehabilitate what's going on in Atlantis, and we can get about 14 megalitres per day out of Atlantis. The Table Mountain Group is a little bit of a curveball, because there's been this plan on the table for a decade and a half to develop the Table Mountain Group aquifer. But that project has never really got to any fruition. They haven't done the pilot testing that they wanted to do. And the leader of that project the other day came out and said, we can't do it in the timeframes that are expected of us. So maybe we can't develop the Table Mountain Group aquifer to its full extent to meet what the city needs, but we can certainly give it a good bash in making some contribution. So if you add up all those little bits, we're about 15 megalitres a day short of groundwater. But what's also happening at exactly the same time that the city and the province and other people are worrying about developing groundwater supplies, the private sector is developing the groundwater as we speak. Mm-hmm. So people are developing water supplies in their back gardens, and they're going off the grid, which has some dangers itself. But it's making a contribution to saving water. And at the same time, the agricultural sector and the industrial sector, they're drilling boreholes to make sure that their businesses can continue in this drought. So there's, I called it in my presentation, the other part. So it's not in the formal government sector. It's outside of that. But people are saving water by developing their own water supplies. And so the short answer is, I think we can get there. I think we can get to the 100 megalitres per day. But it has one key proviso, that we have to start doing it today, not tomorrow. We really have to get cracking.
Dr. Parsons, a lot of questions coming in on our SMS and WhatsApp line from people who are concerned about the impact of drilling into those aquifers. John asking, what will go into the space left when water is drawn out of them? Paul asking, I worry about the effects and how long it would take that groundwater to recover. Is this not a short-term approach?
It's absolutely, at the moment, it's absolutely a short-term approach. We're facing running out of water in March, April, May next year. And we need to then have a conversation about what would life be like if we didn't have water. So there is a concern that we're going to hammer the aquifers. But what we need to do is develop them with our eye on the short term. People like myself will learn a great deal about the aquifers and how they respond when we put them under pressure like this. At the same time that we're doing the development and pumping, we also need to institute monitoring across the Cape Metropole to see how the aquifers respond and to make sure that they can at least get us through the next period so that we've got some water to survive on. I don't see that we're going to be able to flatten these aquifers in the short term, but certainly if we carry it on in almost an uncontrolled fashion, there will be an impact. But I see that impact being a few years down the line.
I'm sure that answer would worry a lot of people who say we can't create that kind of impact, because when they're wiped out, what then? Should we not be approaching this from a different perspective? You seem to be suggesting this is something that can be tapped into, needs to be tapped into, because we have this urgent problem right now. Are you suggesting that we should do it for the short term and then withdraw from that aquifer use to let them recover?
Yes, that would certainly be one approach. So if, for example, we think about the Atlantis aquifer, the Atlantis aquifer has been used for since the mid-70s to supply water to Atlantis for industrial purposes. That aquifer has shown no negative impact from that use. And it's just an example of how properly managed and controlled groundwater use can be used in a beneficial way. But while they've been using that, there's been this whole monitoring program that's gone with it so that we know exactly how the aquifer responds and how it recovers. At the moment, we have good knowledge. So of the Cape Flats aquifer, for example, it's been very well studied through the 70s and 80s. So we have a good understanding of how much water we think we can get out of it. At the moment, the number that comes out of the research from that time is we can get about 50 to 55 megalitres per day out of it without artificial recharge. If we include artificial recharge in the process, we could get more. So if I gave the impression that we're going to run around like a bunch of cowboys, that wasn't my intention. My intention is that we do need to get going in the short term, but we also need to be responsible through the monitoring process.
And I'll just take one or two questions for Dr. Roger Parsons. We're chatting to him in his position as chairman of the Western Cape branch of the Groundwater Division of the Geological Society of South Africa. That's quite a mouthful, but what you need to know is he was the man in charge of organizing this week's big conference around groundwater in Stellenbosch. And we've been hearing from a couple of people with concerns about what could be the impact of drilling into the aquifers. On the line is Les from Melkbos, who lives in Dana. An area where potentially this could be right in your backyard, as it were. Les, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, I'm listening to your program with great interest. I'm no expert. I've lived in Melkbos, Strandwald, Dernefontein for the past 2 years. We have a borehole, but I only rent here, so I'm not sure of its depth. But nevertheless, when the drought was starting a few months ago, it was running out. We had to wait for it to recharge overnight, which I understand had not happened before. That's my first question, is that dangerous? My second question is, if the aquifer is drained or reduced and seawater floods in, Given eventual range, will that seawater be driven back out, or will the aquifer be destroyed for all time?
Les, thank you for those questions. Roger, let's deal with the issue of the borehole running out and needing to recharge overnight. Is that to be expected?
It doesn't happen often. Often that sort of thing is kind of overuse, either of that single borehole or collectively around that. I'm surprised to hear that. We haven't heard those kind of reports before. If there's been quite a lot of use in the summer, the water level can drop by a couple of meters, and it would respond in exactly that way. When the next rains come, they will recharge the system, and the system will recover somewhat. So I think we must just keep an eye on that, and that's where this whole monitoring process comes in, to see if these impacts are widespread and to understand what causes them.
The issue of the seawater, yes.
Yes, the second one is the seawater, and that's one that people grab hold of because they can conceptualize what it's about. There's very little saline intrusion that's occurred along our coast. To be able to do that, you really need to hammer the groundwater and change the hydraulics. There are one or two small cases, but through proper management, saline intrusion is really not the issue that people perceive it to be.
Thank you for that. We've got one more question I'd like to take by voice note before we let you go. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Pippa. What does your guest say about the supposed billions of litres of water that is being washed away in the canals of Cape Town? Isn't that more valuable than the aquifers? Thanks.
Your response, Roger?
Pippa, I'm going to duck that one and rather stick with my knitting, which is groundwater. It's an interesting situation that we have because the environment also needs water. So when there's water going down these canals, if we're a healthy environment and a healthy ecosystem in which we live, they play an important role. So we can't just smash and grab everything we want there. We do need to make sure the environment's looked after. In terms of how feasible it is to develop that water and so on, I really cannot comment on that.
Fair enough. That's outside of your direct area of expertise. Roger, correct. It's been fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And great to get a broader perspective on what's involved in this potential use of drilling into aquifers as a source of additional water. It is part of that water resilience plan that the city has put forward to create the extra 500 megalitres a day. They are hoping to get 60 megalitres from the Table Mountain Group. Well, it doesn't sound like that's going to be coming anytime soon. But the Atlantis aquifer and the Cape Flats aquifer holding some potential in that package. Thank you so much for your questions, and thank you again to Dr. Roger Parsons for a fascinating conversation.